Welcome to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, where we teach you how to break free from restrictive diets, restore your metabolism, and build a body you love so you can look and feel your best as you age. All right, let's dive into this episode.
I'm Kitty Bloomfield, co-founder of New Strength and Saturday, creator of pro metabolic food supplements and seriously saturated skincare. And today I'm joined by my co-founder, Craig McDonald. Welcome back to the podcast, Craig. He's on the other side of the house.
Kitty. Yeah. And
looking
good
across
afternoon.
Across the pool.
Yeah. Hi.
Oh, and today we wanted to get on and talk about something that we love talking about. And we could talk about it till the cows come home. But it's all around muscle building. And, you know, a lot of the women that we work with, they're like, oh, you know, I've achieved my goal weight. Well, this is before they come to us. They're like, oh, you know, I lost weight. I dieted down, achieved my goal weight, but I still don't look like I want to look. And so we just wanted to break that down a bit more and talk about why that is and how, you know, you can actually effectively build muscle. We want to talk about how much muscle you can actually gain. You know, what are some of the things that you want to focus on doing when it comes to building muscle? So let's talk about this. I think this client example was a perfect way to start this because it will make so much sense to people. Craig, she's pulling up her data.
Yeah, just do you want to keep talking for a sec?
We're actually
stall the audience.
We're really excited because Craig's finally releasing this extension to the app, which is just going to make the onboarding so much smoother, but it's going to allow women to actually track their body composition changes week to week and get a really clear picture of, you know, where they need to focus on, you know, like what phase am I doing muscle building? Am I doing body recomposition? Am I doing fat loss? Am I doing a mixture of fat loss and body recomposition? But it's just able to, what I love about it is just having that clear roadmap. So I think that's where so many women struggle. And I actually signed up a lady into a program today. She's in her 50s. She's like, oh, Kitty, you know, I've just gained a lot of weight in menopause and I think it's menopause. And I'm absolutely not saying that menopause doesn't contribute, but it's not the main driver to the weight gain and the symptoms. Yes. And, you know, she was telling me how when she was younger, she was like a cyclist. So her activity levels were way higher. And so, you know, she trains way less now, not tracking her food, doesn't really understand her calorie intake. You know, and she's like, I just don't know whether what I'm doing is actually working. And I think that is the biggest thing for so many women. They're like, I just want to know that, you know, I have this clear, specific plan and I know what I'm actually doing is working and getting me closer to my goals. And that's what I love about our process and our method, is it just really helps you drown out the noise and get clear about what lever it is you actually need to pull or focus on. I mean, there's multiple things you need to focus on to actually achieve your goal, depending on where you're at in your journey. And then obviously there's, you know, the lifestyle behaviors and habits, but once you've got the plan, then we can work on building those habits. So let's talk about this client, Craig.
Yeah, so just looking at her stats now. So she's 51, 166 centimeters in height, and she was 66.8 kilos when she started. And then based off all of her measurements, we worked out she's about 26.7% now body fat. So she started, she was 69.8 and she was sitting at 31%. So she's dropped, you know, essentially 3 and a bit kilos. But like her body fat's at 26.7 now. So it's just like, it's come down a little bit, but ultimately she was like, oh, I've achieved my body weight goal. Like she's like, I really felt like I, you know, and she's going back, I don't know, 15, 20 years ago. And she was like, I really felt like I looked good when I was around 65, 66. So she set the goal and she's, you know, she's at that weight now. And she's like, yeah, but I don't look anything like I want to look. And obviously she, you know, sees you and, you know, sees some of the other, the testimonials from women and some of the really awesome body composition changes that we've been able to do. And she was just like, well, I've achieved my body weight, but I don't look like that. Why don't I look like that? And it's sort of like, okay, we're only looking at one part of the equation right now. We're looking at 50%. So you've ticked off your body weight goal, which is great. But we need to look at the body fat percentage goal because this is ultimately what determines how much muscle you have at any given body weight. So given that she's gone from, you know, 31 down to where she is now. She's still technically, and I sort of said this before, and this does depend on your height a little bit, but generally between 25 and 30% body fat off our equation is generally, you know, what we refer to as the healthy body fat range. So in that range, we generally see like a lot of metabolic health improvements, a lot of their blood markers, you know, temperature, pulse, all these things generally are really, really, really good. Now, if you're a taller person, you can be sort of sitting in that higher end. If you're somebody who's much shorter, you know, like 5'5" or sort of less, that percentage might actually need to get a little bit lower than that. But that's generally, so let's say we're sort of between 23, 24% up to 30%. That would cover all the ranges. So I sort of said, look, you're in the healthy body fat range now, but you wouldn't be in the healthy, in the aesthetically pleasing body fat range. It's probably the best way to describe it. So I said, look, this is where you are now. We can look at your photos and this is where you are. Here is a body fat reference guide, right? And in this reference guide, it's basically pictures of women at between 10 and 12%, between 15, 17%, between 20 to 22%, 25%, 30, 35, 40, et cetera. So I said, have a look at this reference guide. So whereabouts do you want to sit? And she was looking at that and she was just like, oh, I really like the 17% one. That would be really, really good. And I go, cool. At what weight do you want to be 17%? And she was just like, well, basically where I'm in now, which was technically looking at this, she was actually 66.8. So I said, okay, so you want to stay at 66.8 kilos or thereabouts, but just be at 17%. And she was like, yes. I'm like, okay, cool. So what this actually means is we've got the two parts of the equation that we've now got very clear. But what it means is you need to maintain your body weight, but you need to train on 6.4 kilos of lean muscle tissue in order to give you a net fat loss of 6.4 kilos. This will have you sitting at 17% body fat at this particular weight. And she was like, oh, that sounds like a lot of muscle that I need to put on. I'm like, yeah, it would be, you know, it would definitely be a very much a long-term goal, you know, like, you know, a good couple of years to really achieve that probably. She was like, okay, well, how could I try and, you know, get to 17% a little bit easier? And I'm like, well, you would need to bring your body weight down. She's like, well, what would it need to be? So I said, well, basically at your height, like if we put in 62 kilos, for example, you would then need to diet off 4.8 kilos to bring yourself down to 62 kilos, but you would only need to train on 2.5 kilos of lean body mass. And she was like, oh, that sounds doable. And then that would give you a net fat loss of 7.3 kilos. So the net fat loss is still really high. But now the strategy changes of how you would need to get there. So before it was all about muscle gain. And she would need to continue to add more food in over time to allow for the adaptations and the growth of that new skeletal muscle tissue to go on for her to gain, you know, that 6+ kilos of lean body mass. But her weight would need to hold. So in order to hold her weight as the tissue's going on, she would need to keep eating more food to allow this process to happen. Now, that process can absolutely happen. And then that's, you know, kind of the best indication of what a recon phase is. But in that particular scenario, that's going to take a really, really long time. Really long time. So sometimes doing a bit more of a compromise and sort of going, well, I've always looked good at you know, 66, 67 kilos or 65 kilos, whatever. It's like, cool, but you're only 166 centimeters. So your average height. So the reality is probably you sitting at that slightly lower body weight would actually be easier for you to maintain and actually get to in the shorter term. So if we kind of go, okay, well, let's drop it down to 62 at 17, it's then very clear. She's got to diet off 4.8 kilos of total body weight, which is going to come by how much food she eats. So that part of the equation is controlled by the amount of food she eats. And then the train on, the muscle gain part of 2.5 kilos is going to come from her, you know, being able to get much stronger in the gym. So now all of a sudden the strategy is like, well, in this case, she's got to diet off more than she's got to train on. So it's probably easier to diet down and get that body weight happening and then still train as if she's trying to put on as much muscle as possible and see what she can eke out in terms of lean body mass while she's in a, you know, relatively decent caloric deficit to lose the 4.8 kilos of body weight. And then maybe she gets again down to that body weight, But instead of her, she hasn't reached 17% yet. She might be only at like 21 or 22%. It's just like, okay, now you can sit here, but now the muscle gain goal is not so huge. And then you can just sit here, let your maintenance calories build up as you build up the training base. And that's exactly how you would approach it. But because she wasn't looking at this, she just had a body weight goal in mind. She then, once she reached that particular body weight goal, she was like, okay, well, why don't I look like the way I want to look? And it's just like, well, you've only focused on one part of the equation here. So by kind of demonstrating this to her and going through this process, she was like, it was like a light bulb moment. She's like, oh, fuck, okay, cool. All right, cool. Let's adjust this goal and let's make it a little bit more hopefully attainable in a much sort of shorter term. So again, I think we might have spoken about this on the last podcast, but the fundamental that you have to apply from the get-go is do a body composition test right now. How much do I weigh? What's my body fat percentage? So our equation, it's based off your age, your height, your total body weight, and then your bunch of girth measurements to essentially work out what your body fat is. And the difference between your total body weight and your body fat percentage is your lean body mass, right? Once you have those, you can then input your goal body weight and goal body fat percentage and see what those calculations come out as. So it's just like, you know, sometimes people put in, they're like, oh, I've got to gain like 10 kilos of muscle. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably a little bit unrealistic. So let's massage this a little bit. Let's find a goal that's certainly attainable and doesn't feel too out of reach for you just yet. And, you know, let's start working towards it. And one of these things that often happens when we go through this process is people might get halfway to this goal and go, you know what? I'm actually really happy with how I look. I'm happy with my body weight. I'm happy with my level of body fat. I feel like this is good. And I feel like this would be really easy to maintain within my lifestyle. And it's like, hey, fantastic. No problems. If you get there sooner and you know, like you're really happy with that, then hey, who am I to know you must keep going to the goal that we originally set? If you're happy, you're happy. Fantastic. Do you know? Whereas on the other side, we've had people kind of get to like an initial goal and they're like, I'd like to go a bit further. I'd like to readjust my goal to be this, this, this. I was like, cool. Okay. Well, these are what the numbers are now going to look like. This is what we've got to work towards. So again, the numbers are the numbers. And these numbers are based off you as the individual and you know, your current body composition. And then after that, we're just looking at, as you check in every week, you know, we'll look at your numbers, like how adherent have you been with your nutrition, calories, macronutrients, taking your body weight every day, how many steps you're doing each day, what are your training numbers, are you getting stronger, are you completing all your training sessions, you know, are you actually making decent progress, not just hitting the PB for one extra rep or whatever. If you can do more, then you should do more. You know, like are you actively going, look, I need to put on, you know, 2.5 kilos of lean body mass. That's going to require an exponential jump in all of my lifts. Like, am I really going into the gym with that attitude and that mindset? I'm like, I'm here to maximize the stimulus as much as possible. Do you know? So again, I feel like when you bring it back to this fundamental and you work out your current body composition and where your goal body composition is, it changes the whole process around what working out and trying to.
You're training with intent.
Trying to do deuce. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. It is. It's intent, but it's a far superior focus because this particular scenario, you know, she really didn't have a lot of weight to lose. You know, she wasn't really that far off. But somebody who's got 15, 20, 25 kilos to lose, but that's going to take a long time. You know, that's to do it properly is going to take, you know, the better part of a year if you've got 20 or 25, you know, kilos to lose, right? Maybe 6 months, but it's probably, you know, something like that, 9 months. And a client, Sue, she was, you know, 18 kilos, took her 26 weeks, you know, and she did everything right. Do you know what I mean? So when you've got a greater goal like that to, you know, in terms of body weight loss, body fat percentage, et cetera, or greater muscle gain goal, you have to have something that can always bring you back to kind of have you refocus and go, hold on, remember, this was the goal that we set. Like, look at this again. You're like, oh, should I do this? Or should I be adding this? Or should I add in this supplement? Or should I saw this thing or this biohacking, should I be doing these cold plunges? Because apparently that helps with, you know, liberating brown fat and whatever, but fuck off with that shit. Like, I'm not saying that some things might have some validity in the overall process, but at the end of the day, you got to focus on what it is that you're working towards. Mm-hmm. I've got a body weight loss goal. Okay. Food is going to control that the vast majority of the time, right? I've got a muscle gain goal. Right. How strong you can get into the gym is the only thing that's going to do that. So let's tick those boxes and let's be focused on those things first. You know, then it's just like, that's where, you know, like once you your food's all dialed in and you're consistent with that and your training's on point, you're making progress with that and you're getting enough sleep at night. It's just like, yeah, this is where supplements can give you the edge or kind of just tip you over the top to just make that progress a little bit better. Absolutely. 100%. But again, we've got to have that thing there staring us in the face, just going, oi, remember, this is what we're doing. Focus. And by using this system, I've just found the adherence to people actually achieving what they want is just so much higher because it's just very easy for me to just go, hey, what's the goal again? Yeah, I know. I've got to still gain this much muscle and I've still got to...
How far away are you from hitting your lifts? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the other thing too, and I get it because I have been there is, you know, when you first start lifting is a much slower, muscle building is a much slower process than fat loss. You know, you can diet the fuck out of yourself and lose fat relatively quickly. But it's very painful. And it's not very enjoyable. And obviously there are a lot of women who need to put on muscle and lose body fat. But I think when you can really commit to this like slower, sustainable body recomposition process or spend some time like Sue, you know, for example, she spent time lifting, building muscle, building up her maintenance calories. Then she went into the fat loss phase. Another client, a great example of this is who's the young one that you talk about that's in the program and she's been eating, she's really strong. She built up all her.
Vivian. Shout out to Vivian.
Yeah, she spent time building muscle, getting really strong, building up her maintenance calories. Now she's entering a fat loss phase and it's just dropping off her because she's built that really solid base.
I had to, when I was talking to her on the call the other day, I had to get her to double check. I was just like, is this right? Because, it was, let me just look at it now. So she was... where was she? Here it is. So this is why it's so important to do. So this is why it's so important. So in this situation, the week before she was 80.9 kilos. And then, you know, we dropped calories down. Her average weight for the next check-in is 79.3. So that's 2.02% of her body weight loss in a week. So generally, I say anywhere between 0.5 and 1% is a really good rate of sustainable loss. Some people can go a little bit higher than that. And again, it just depends on the person, you know, the where they were starting from initially, what kind of, you know, kind of metabolic state they're in. And some people can just kind of handle it a little bit better. Obviously, we always want to use strategies to try and mitigate any kind of negative offset. But when you're in a deficit, you know, like just energy is going to be a little bit lower. You know, performances in the gym can be a little bit tricky. Like it's just things we've got to do to try and mitigate it. But it is kind of comes with the territory a little bit. So in her case, it was like 2.2. And I was like, oh, wow. And then I'm looking at her total centimeters. So she was 458 total centimeters. So that's her neck measurement, waist small, belly button, hips, glutes, thigh. So 458 total centimeters. Checks in the next week, she's 446 total centimeters. So it's 12 centimeters off her body in 7 days. So 2.02% body weight loss. 12 fucking centimeters in 7 days. I was just like, yeah, so that works out to be for 3.2% body fat.
Wow.
So I was like, is this right? Like, it's just, she was like, yeah. And then this is the other thing. And she was like, oh, go down and have a look at my photos. So I've got the photos here and then looked at her front photos. I was just like, fuck, all right. Yeah, it's just like see it through her quads, her thighs, like through her waist and her hips. It's just like you can see the ab definition coming in now and it's like before. And then you're always like having a look from the back because obviously everyone's got the, unescapable love handles, unfortunately. And it's just, it barely looks like the same person. And it was just like, fuck, okay, cool. Like, this is really, really awesome. She was like, oh, do I need to change it? And I'm like, no, let's not, that, you know, that's obviously the rate of loss will slow down a little bit. It's unlikely she'll continue to lose over 2% of her body weight per week. But it just goes to show, like, before we started, you know, you're sitting up around 2,200 calories. You know, she'd been there for a while and she's quite strong. She's done powerlifting before, you know, she's got a really strong base there. So when we finally was just like, okay, look, she'd already lost about 6 kilos being at the high calories. And for her, it was just like dialing in the food, just getting consistent, pulling the alcohol out, you know, just doing all the things that are very conducive to improving your body composition. And she was able to lose 6 kilos and that was really good, but she's kind of hit the wall a little bit. She was just like, okay, like, I want to get this move on. And I sort of said, well, like, what's the goal here? You know, what are we working towards? You know, and we worked out the body composition. I'm like, well, looky, if I was to ask you, do you want to take this fat loss phase like as fast and as efficient as possible? Or are you happy for it to just be a bit of a slow burn? Naturally, you know, 9 out of 10 people will always go, well, I'd like it to happen as fast as I can. All right, okay, cool. Work out the rate of loss that she needs. I'm like, cool. All right, let's set the new calories. 7 days. It was like, fuck, huge drop. But I believe that is because she already had a good foundation. She was already doing everything right. She was already tracking her food, being very diligent, you know, being on point with her activity levels and her steps and her sleep and all those sort of things. And then so when we did the drop like this, it happened very, very rapidly. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think she's going to be an amazing transformation at the end of this. So shout out to you, Vivian.
That's a good one.
Hopefully we can get on the podcast and have a chat to her about it. But I mean, it just goes to show the level of detail, right? So it's just like she had her food all dialed in. You know, she takes the proactive approach, not the reactive approach. She plans all her food ahead. She makes sure she's organized. She's got her training laid out. She's making sure she's hitting her 10,000 or 11,000 steps per day. You know, she's just doing all the fundamentals really, really well. Mm-hmm. And she's very focused on what that end body composition goal is. So again, having that, this is where I'm starting. This is where my end body composition wants to be. What does that look like in terms of body weight, body fat loss, lean muscle, lean body mass gain? And then you put the strategy in place and you work the strategy, and your adherence and your accuracy to that strategy is ultimately what's going to determine how effective it is for you. So, yeah, no, it was awesome. Amazing.
So just quickly talk about, like, how much muscle can you actually gain? Like, how slow is muscle? Like, I guess it's more if you're a beginner than less if you're intermediate, and even less, like, when you get to our level, advanced.
Yeah, so I think it's less for females than it is for males. But the thing is, like, true skeletal muscle tissue, so myofibular, like raw myofibular muscle tissue, is almost impossible to measure because you really need to do a biopsy.
Who's going to want to do that? Sounds painful.
That sounds very painful. So the reality is every measurement tool on the planet, whether it's an in-body, whether it's a DEXA, whether it's Skivol calipers, whether it's our equation, whether it's, you know, based off height, age, total body weight, and all the girth measurements, all of those are going to come with inherent errors. I feel the way we do it is just easier because from a practical standpoint, you can do it every 7 days, doesn't require a lot of effort, and it's pretty hard to fuck up measurements, right? You just put the tape measure around your belly button, around your hip bones, you know, like it's going to be pretty standardized, which is ultimately what we're always looking for. So when we're actually looking at our equation, it's essentially your total body weight. And the two things that make up your total body weight is your fat mass and your lean body mass. Okay. So fat mass is just everything that's fat, all your adipose tissue is fat. And everything else is essentially lean body mass. So lean body mass is made up of blood, bones, glycogen, water, and then obviously your raw muscle tissue. So it was really interesting because you had, I think you posted in the school community the other week when you did your update of your body composition change, and it showed that you'd put on I think it was like 1.2 kilos of lean body mass in, you know, 7 days or something like that. 14 days, I think it was. And someone questioned it, and it's just like, oh, okay, so you put on 1.2 kilos of lean body of muscle in that 2 weeks. And so it's like, no, we didn't say muscle. We said lean body mass. She was like, but it's a fair question, because she was like, I don't buy that. No one can put that on. I agree. There's absolutely no way that anyone could do that. So we have to, basically, with the way that we work this out and understand it, is that if you're putting on, say you put on genuinely 1 kilo of raw myofibular muscle tissue, well, your lean body mass has to go up as a result of that, because the more actual lean tissue goes on, the more glycogen you hold, the more water storage, all of the lean body mass goes up, right? And we see this across the board when people get to, like, for example, I think you sit at around 67 kilos at around 18 or 19%. I think it works out you're around about 54.6 kilos of lean body mass, right? Now, I had somebody else recently who got down to 17%, and their lean body mass was at like 50.2. So there's about a four and a bit kilos difference in lean body mass. Now, when you look at the pictures of this person, in terms of how much shape they have, which is the raw muscle fibers, they don't have as much shape as you do, for example.
So I hope you're enjoying the podcast so far. I wanted to quickly jump in and talk about our brand new Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge. Are you a woman over 40 who's feeling stuck when it comes to your health and your body? Maybe you've tried all the diets, you've cut carbs, you've done endless hours of cardio, and you still feel frustrated with no lasting results. You are not alone. This is so common for women in their 40s and beyond. But the good news is there is a better way. This is where the Rebuild Your Metabolism Method 28-Day Challenge comes in. Say goodbye to endless hours of cardio, restricted diets, cutting sugar, carbs, and quick fixes. And say hello to feeling strong, lean, and energized like never before. Get ready for a healthier metabolism, better sleep, balanced hormones, more energy, and sustainable fat loss. Transform your body, health, and life after 40. So this isn't just a quick fix diet or a one-size-fits-all workout plan. It's a method that combines metabolic support and body recomposition, specifically designed to help women build muscle, lose body fat, and restore hormonal and metabolic health after 40. So here's what you're going to get in the 28 days of the challenge. Custom macros and meal planning. So no more restrictive dieting or food fear. You'll learn how to set macros, adjust macros, build meal plans, and eat foods you love while fueling your body to burn fat and build muscle. We've got hundreds of structured training programs. So these are designed for busy women with simple, effective workouts that you can do at home or in the gym. Each workout is actually customizable to the equipment you have access to, and each exercise comes with a detailed video tutorial. You get daily coaching and support. So you get access to me and Craig for 28 days to help guide you every step of the way, accountability, support, encouragement, and expert advice. You get to use our incredible new strength tracker app to track your progress, complete weekly check-ins, track your food, build meal plans, and use our unique training system to ensure your technique is spot on and you're progressing week to week. You also get access to us for 28 days, so you can jump on live calls and get feedback and coaching on your check-ins, as well as access to us via our community platform to ask questions and get support. And you get lifetime access to the course materials with modules on nutrition, metabolism, and hormonal health, plus guides on setting macros, creating balanced meal plans, recipe books, meal ideas, and we're just going to teach you everything you need to know about nutrition. And here's the best part. It's just a one-time payment of $29 Australian. Plus, it comes with a money-back guarantee. So if by the end of the challenge, you're not convinced you can build muscle, lose body fat, and improve your health and hormonal issues using my method, I'll refund your money, no questions asked. This challenge isn't just about 28 days. It's about creating a sustainable lifestyle where you feel empowered to take control of your health, eat delicious food, and finally break free from restrictive diets and endless hours of training. So if you're ready to finally take control back of your body and your health, click on the link below in the show notes and join today. Let's get back to the podcast.
And then we can also double check this by looking at their training logs and just going to go, well, how much is this person deadlift? How much do they chest press? You know, how many chin-ups can they do? The performance aspect is far greater on yours than it was to theirs. So the thing is, while the lean body mass might not be an actual true indication of like true muscle fiber, the reality is that lean body mass is still going to be higher in a person who's much, much stronger anyway, because it has to be, because it's everything that's not fat. So if we just look at it and we go, okay, all of the lean body mass things that we can't measure or affect, blood, bones, organs, glycogen, water, etc., we just go, cool, what can we measure? We can measure how strong we're getting each week, and we can measure how much fat's on our body by doing the girth measurements. So our total body weight is going to be made up by how strong we get and how much body fat we have. If our strength is going up in the gym and our measurements are going down, well, you can't say then that you go, well, I've lost muscle and I've gained fat, because that's not what I've just described. You can't get stronger and lose muscle, and your measurements can't go up. Your measurements can't go down and you gain fat, right? So logically, that doesn't make sense. So if we go, your total body weight is X and you've dropped, you know, 2 kilos of body fat, for example, but your body weight stays the same and your strength has gone up, well, then the only two elements in this equation is your body fat and your lean body mass. So if the body weight stays the same, but 2 kilos of fat goes down because all of your measurements have gone down, but you've gotten stronger in the gym, then 2 kilos of lean body mass has gone on. Now, of that lean body mass, how much muscle is that? Well, it's hard to know, but at the end of the day, your strength has to go up in the gym. So if your strength is going up in the gym, then it's very likely that everything that's contributing to lean body mass is an improvement in your overall physique. So while we can go down that rabbit hole and kind of go, well, you know, maybe I've put on 10 grams or 15 grams, which is probably the realistic of what the actual raw muscle tissue, we can't measure it anyway, so we just rely on lean body mass. But it's backed up by the fact that when you're measuring muscle and fat, strength goes up, muscle goes up, strength goes down, muscle goes down. You know, if you control your body weight, your measurements go down, your body fat goes down. If your measurements go up, you're gaining fat. I mean, it doesn't take a fucking rocket science to work that out, that you've only got two things that you can actually manipulate here. And they're the two things that are actually going to be affected by the calories, which is going to control your body weight, and how strong you get in the gym, which is going to control your actual muscle mass. So I think I kind of went off on a bit of a tangent there, but yeah, I think trying to get really caught up in the, well, how much
I guess it's just like,
did I gain? It's like, well, who knows?
More like the time it takes, you know, like just trying to show women that it's a slow process. Like you've got to give this like at least 12 months. Obviously you're going to see progress along the way. I think
can I jump in?
You say how quickly you can reach your strength targets, but still to add a decent amount of weight to your deadlift, you can't do that in a month.
No, but that's the thing. Like if I was to say to someone, how much can you deadlift now? And it's like, oh, I could do 60 kilos. And I go, cool. Is that for one rep or is that for five reps? Is that for 10 reps? Oh, I can do that for five reps. Okay, cool. Right. So you could probably do 72 kilos for one or something like that. I'm like, what if you could do 120 kilos for five reps? Do you think your hamstrings and glutes and back would look different? And they sort of think about it for a moment. They're like, yeah, well, obviously, because I've gotten stronger. So I would have had to build the muscle to be able to lift that. And I'm like, exactly. So stop thinking about the muscle gain and start thinking about how quickly can I go from 60 kilos to 120 kilos on a deadlift? How can I go from pressing 10 kilo dumbbells to pressing 22 and a half kilo dumbbells on the flat dumbbell chest press? You know, how can I go from hack squatting, you know, one plate, 120 kilo plate to hack squatting, 420 kilo plates? Because the reality is the body that you want is always going to be on the other side of those accomplishments. So instead of just going, oh, I haven't built that, I'm like, look at your training. If your muscle is not going out, if your body's not changing, then the training's not working. End of discussion. So we just got to go, well, here are the key milestones that we need to hit. So let's just work towards those and just accept the fact that the body that I want to look, that I want, is going to be on the other side of those, and that's going to take time. And it's like, well, how long time? I don't know. How hard can you push in the gym? How well can you execute these movements? You know, how well can you be on point with your nutrition so your recovery is on point. You know, there's so many things, you know, that will go into that. But ultimately, you either become capable of lifting those weights and you accomplish what you want, or you don't become capable and you don't accomplish those things. Like, it's very, very black and white. So it's like, get massively stronger or fail outright. It's as simple as that. So
yeah, I think just back to the time thing, if you can just reframe, like, I think this is what really helped me is, instead of focusing what I could achieve in 12 weeks, I looked at 12 months, you know, and just chipped away every session and went in and was like, okay, can I beat my calculated PB by at least one? And obviously you're going to beat it by a lot. And if you use our app, we track a calculated 1RM, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But if you can just chip away at that over time, it's amazing what you can add in 6 months, 12 months. So maybe let's talk about some of the key things to focus on. Well, this is just some of the things that I think Craig will probably add to this, but one is nutrition. And I think eating enough to build muscle and eating carbs. So I think women, we're always trying to cut carbs and be small and be skinny. And, you know, I think some women, when they come into the program, they can start eating more carbs and then they look at the weight, their weight will go up. Even though their calories, we may have, you know, like set their calories at maintenance. And what I find is when you start to eat more carbs, your muscles hold more glycogen. So you can initially see this weight gain on the scale, bit of weight gain. You're like, oh my God, fuck, I'm gaining weight. But you're not going to put on body fat in a few days. And what I find is really beneficial is actually, you know, making sure you're tracking your food and forward planning, getting really consistent. Because what you'll find over time is that weight might go up a little bit, but then over time, as you build more muscle, you'll see your measurements come down and you'll start to look more lean and more toned. So I think it's really important to get really specific with your nutrition. Make sure you're eating enough. And it's a balance. You don't have to eat in a massive surplus. Like, most women that come to our program can either eat at maintenance, or women who are leaner might have to eat in a very small surplus, but you don't have to eat in this big surplus. But I think it's about getting consistent, balancing, eating well-balanced meals. Like, I'd say probably most women do well on 3 to 5, making sure that you're eating a good solid meal for breakfast and also before training. So, you know, you want to eat enough carbs and some protein to make sure you go into that gym well-fueled, because, you know, it's not just training. You're not training to burn calories. You're training to build muscle. You're training to perform. So you want to be an athlete. Think about yourself like an athlete. Even today, and I wouldn't do this usually, but I just woke up today and I was like, oh, I just feel shit. I don't know. I just was feeling shit today. And I had a legs day and I was like, you know what? I have the ability to go tomorrow. I know some people wouldn't be able to. And if I couldn't go tomorrow, I probably would have just gone, look, I'm just going to go. You know, I was a bit tired, didn't sleep that well. And I'll just maybe pull back the weights or just see how I go. Like, I'm not going to worry about beating any PBs. I'm just going to go and train and move my body. But I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to have a rest today and then I'm going to go in tomorrow. You know, so I think, you know, nutrition, getting the calories and macros right, eating the right amount for your goals, trusting the process and being consistent and looking at your progress over months, not weeks, because it can get so easy to get caught on that number and the scale, you know, and lose sight of the longer term goal and the bigger picture, which is I need to build more muscle, you know, and the more time you can put into getting stronger, eating more carbs, building up your maintenance calories. If the time comes when you want to do a bit more of an aggressive fat loss phase, you'll just get such better results. Like, you know, so it's trying to put up that instant gratification and just really focusing on week to week, being consistent with nutrition, fueling your training sessions, focusing on the numbers, focusing on the performances. I think sleep is a real big one, you know, like the days when you don't get a good sleep. So, and I've done this before, like, how many times do you stay up late and watch a show or scroll through Instagram? Or, you know, like, when I actually go to bed at 8:30 and go to sleep by like 9, I have such a better sleep. So it's really prioritizing that bedtime, consistent sleep schedule, because you're just going to perform so much better when you're not tired, when you're well-fueled, when you're eating those well-balanced meals. And I also think too, I don't know what you think about this, Craig, but trying to eat at regular meal times, you know, like not being all over the place every day. Obviously, yes. I know sometimes that's not going to happen just because shit happens, but, you know, we tend to eat our meals at similar times every day because your body likes that consistency.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. Like, your body is a highly adaptive organism and it will respond to the inputs that you give it on a consistent basis. So if you go to bed at the same time, you wake up the same time, you have, let's say you have 5 meals a day, you eat them roughly around the same, you know, within a half an hour or something of each other, you're eating the same quality, good quality of foods, you know, you're doing all the little things, you're doing the carrot salad and you're doing doing the liver and they're doing oysters, you know, doing all these things. If you can get into such a rhythm where it's just becomes like clockwork, I can honestly say that that someone who was, say, like tracking their food and hitting their macros, so to speak, and was still eating reasonably good quality foods, but hitting their macros and eating at different times. Some days I have 3 meals, some days I have 5 meals, some days I have 4 or 5. You know, they're training at different times or whatever. Even though technically they're hitting all the numbers from a data perspective, they're hitting the person who gets into the most consistent rhythm will by far have the greatest results in the most efficient time. It's remarkable how much that makes a difference. You know, and I've you know, doing the photo shoot, you know, it was just like locked in, same foods, whatever. It was easier. Like you look at like Anna Hansel, you know, she competes in bodybuilding. She's kind of the extreme example now, but she's just on point with all of that stuff all the time. And when you see her, she just looks fucking awesome. Like she's just so rock solid. But I think it's just, and I don't mean to deter anyone who's listening to this, just go, oh, why do I want to be that strict? It's like, well, you don't need to be. I'm just,
no, that's only if you're obviously
highlighting the fact that the more consistent you are, the better the result that will be. And that includes meal timings, includes sleep timings, includes keeping the same schedule for when you do your training, you know, like all of those things your body will adapt to. And adapt to it quickly. It's quite, you know, like you just, after a couple of weeks of having, you know, a very similar rhythm with all those things, you will notice a difference in everything, your energy levels, your mood, hunger, you know, stress levels, you know, like it's just, yeah, give your body what it wants when it needs it and you'll find that it'll thrive pretty well.
And we talked about this today, actually, because so many women ask this creatine. Talk about creatine and the pro-metabolic company. So Craig actually made his own creatine. Because this is a supplement that we have been using for years and years and years and recommending to our clients. And it's one of the most well-researched, hey, supplements out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just undeniable at this point. you go on to, I'm part of a few different websites. Consensus is the main one that I use that does a lot of studies on so many different things, and they collate it all and put them all together. Examine.com is very specific around supplements and different nutrients and that sort of thing. And it's just, you know, whenever you just type in creatine, creatine's effects or, you know, different phrases like that, the plethora of studies in various environments with different, you know, conditions and all of them are positive. You know, probably one of the really cool ones that I just saw recently actually was they had three groups. I think it was like 18 to 25, 30 to 45, and then 50 plus. And each group, I can't remember the sample size. I think it was a reasonable amount. It might have been 30 or 40 people in each size. And they were testing creatine specifically for cognition. So for the most part, creatine's always been very much a sports performance supplement. Like you take creatine, your performance is better in the gym due to, you know, greater cellular hydration and obviously increasing your ATP stores. So ATP stores are the energy system that are generally going to be depleted quickly, especially if you're doing something at a high interval, like you're sprinting or lifting weights, you're trying to apply a lot of force into a bar, etc. Like those things are going to be depleted and then you move into the next energy system. So the more that we can stay in that ATP system, essentially the less metabolic stress we're going to have on our body, and potentially the greater the performance, the better recovery, all that sort of thing. So, you know, that's from that perspective. And then obviously we look at endurance runners and different athletes like that. Like creatine has just been, you know, studied across all of these different energy systems, different sporting events, whatever, and it's all positive. The outcome is always a net positive. But more recently, it's getting a lot of recognition for the cognitive benefits. So coming back to this other study, what they actually saw, they were doing like reaction tests and memory tests. So they would read a paragraph and they would have to like recite it back and, you know, different things like this. And what they found, like the younger group, you know, the 18 to 25, it didn't really have an effect, as it shouldn't, because you're fucking young and you're sprightly and you should have everything working pretty well. It saw a little bit of improvement in the middle group, but it wasn't statistically significant. But for the 50 plus age group, massive difference. It was like a 33% increase in memory and your reactive times and all this thing. So it's just like you could almost go as far as say that creatine could be the fountain of youth in some ways. You know, there's a lot of supplements or, you know, nutrients that we kind of see. And we talk about liver and oysters being that. But creatine could definitely be on there as well, because, you know, it's obviously improving your ability to just be able to perform tasks at a higher level. And especially as we age, we always see things drop off. Taking 5 grams of creatine every day is just so beneficial. Like I've got my parents taking it now, you know, like so certainly from the point of performance, but also, you know, the cognitive benefits. It's awesome. It's really, really awesome. And then obviously with my particular product as well, I added some more choline in there. So choline's a neurotransmitter. You generally get choline from eggs and a few other bioavailable food sources. So choline's, you know, a neurotransmitter. It improves cognition as well. So the combination of them together work quite well synergistically. And then also betaine. So betaine's got a number of different qualities. You know, a lot of people usually see betaine a lot in different digestive enzymes because it increases stomach acid and obviously breaks down your food a lot easier. So if you're somebody who's struggling with, you know, any kind of SIBO, candida, you know, H. pylori infections, like people with H. pylori, 50% of the world population now has H. pylori. And it's a massive reason why people have low stomach acid. So there's a lot of things that you can do to, try and improve your stomach acid levels on a natural basis. But, you know, if you're somebody who's got H. pylori, for example, you're going to have a pretty hard time doing that. So using something like betaine can be really, really beneficial. But like creatine, it's also an osmolite, so it pulls more water into the cell as well. So when you combine, you know, creatine with, you know, other electrolytes such as, you know, sodium, potassium, and magnesium, which are your intracellular nutrients, you're going to have greater cellular hydration, which is also going to increase performance a bit more, plus also be really beneficial at removing waste products, lactic acid and metabolites, calcium ion accumulation, those sort of things. So, you know, anything that's going to keep us more hydrated, anything that's going to improve ATP stores, anything that's going to help us from a cognitive benefit. So also when you're training as well, if we've got more focus, you know, we're going to be putting more into our sets and we're going to be extracting better performances, which ultimately leads to improved body composition. So that was the whole basis behind why I wanted to create my product, Creatine Plus, to add those two things in it to just give it a bit of a kicker and get the most out of it. I think, you know, especially with the cohort of people that we work with are generally, you know, the 40 plus. So anything we could do to improve performance, but also improve your focus and cognition as well. So yeah, and I'm really happy with the product. It's going really, really well. I'm getting some really awesome feedback from people. All our clients are all lifters. So, you know, they're definitely seeing the benefits of it. So it's really wonderful to see.
Yeah, so you just need to go to prometabolic.co and you can use discount code KITTY20 for 20% off your first purchase. Yep. One other thing, I think salt.
Yeah.
I think a lot of women don't eat enough salt. I think that's helpful too.
Oh. So interestingly, just on that, so sometimes with creatine. Now, in my particular product, I've used the CreaPure, which is the German-made creatine, which is pretty much the gold standard in creatine monohydrate. So we're able to utilize that, which I'm really, really happy about. But sometimes people can get stomach cramps or feel like they're you know, holding a bit more water, getting some fluid retention when they use creatine. And a lot of that is two things. It's coming back to that cellular hydration. They're taking creatine either like on an empty stomach or, you know, away from food. So sodium was one of the biggest reasons why people get the fluid outside the cell, because they need to keep everything inside the cell as much as possible. So just simply adding 1 to 2 grams of salt, you know, when you take your creatine, or, you know, as long as you're, depending on what time of day you're taking creatine, maybe you're having enough salt with your meals throughout the day, which would be fine. Generally, I always add a bit more salt with when I take it as well. And then after that, if they're getting, you know, the muscle cramps or they're getting some, you know, cramps within the stomach, again, that's going to be a potassium issue. So increasing potassium as well. So one thing that I really like to do, and this is how I actually do it personally, is first thing in the morning when I have my creatine, I'll have it with the adrenal cocktail, which is essentially sodium, potassium bicarbonate, and whole food vitamin C. And then I'll also add the trace mineral drops in with that as well. So I'll drink that with about 800 mils of water. And then that's going to tick all the bases. So I'm you know, plenty of salt in with that. My creatine is going to go, you know, straight into cells with the help of the transporter salt. It's also going to pull in the potassium and magnesium as well, which is going to create that cellular hydration, and everything's going to work. So, I think from that perspective, you definitely want to increase your salt intake if you are getting any of those symptoms. That can be really, really beneficial. And then after that, yeah, look, I mean, it does depend on where you live. Obviously, where we are now in Thailand, it's pretty hot. So we generally tend to sweat a little bit more, so we'd want to increase our salt intake a little bit more. But I think if you're just somebody who's training hard, right, if you're getting in the gym and you're really pushing the weights and you're truly trying to focus on body composition, obviously that cellular hydration, but salt is a transporter, right? That's ultimately what its role is there to do. So it's obviously transporting things into the cell, but it's also removing, metabolites and lactic acid and different things out of the cell as well. So, you know, I find it kind of really strange now when I see professional athletes who are getting cramps or, you know, struggling with performance in that, especially the ones who, you know, like the fighters who cut a lot of weight for their weigh-ins. You know, they cut all the water weight, whatever, to drop 5 kilos, you know, to make weight, and then they're not rehydrating properly. And often a lot of time they're cramping or they're super lethargic, and it's a massive sodium issue. Obviously they need other nutrients as well, but they're not consuming as much salt as they need. And potassium, you know, if you're an athlete, 4,700 milligrams per day is generally the recommendation, and no one's getting anywhere fucking near that. Because when you actually work it out, that's a tremendous amount of potatoes and bananas and oranges and stuff that you would need to consume. So, you know, you don't need to get quite that much, but, you know, to get, you know, I don't know, 2,000 milligrams of potassium per day, you know, like you've got to make sure your food's on point. So another reason why, you know, eating a really good pro metabolic, you know, nutritional structure, you know, fruits and roots, you know, going to give you that. So yeah, but salt. Yeah.
Remember we ran out of salt the other day? It was terrible. We had to eat breakfast, no bloody salt.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It tastes terrible.
Yeah, it's a bit tricky to get the awesome salt here. We were able to find something at one of the specialty shops.
Otherwise everything's iodized, hey.
That's right. Everything's iodized.
Yeah.
It's just got heaps of caking agents in it, and that's something which we want to avoid. I think anyone will always do well. I think if there's one thing that you could change right now, it's look to increase your salt intake.
Yeah.
There are just a caveat to that. There are people that are salt sensitive that have hypertensive issues, or if you have existing kidney issues, then you want to be very mindful of that. Mm. But all that being good, bump it up. I think I've got clients do this before where they actually put a little container on the measuring scales. And then I go, no, put five grams of salt into it. And they put it in there and they look at it and they're like, wow, fuck yeah, I'm not getting anywhere near that.
Mm.
I'm like, cool. All right. So every day, measure that out and just make sure you finish all of that salt by the end of the day. So sprinkle as much as you need over all your meals, you know, add it to your water, just make sure you finish it by the end of the day. Make a massive difference, keeping your adrenaline low. Yeah, it's really good.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks again, everyone, for tuning in. And as always, take a screenshot of the episode and share it on Instagram stories and tag me at KITTYBLOMFIELD. And each month I pick a winner and they get a tub of bag of Saturay collagen. And we will see you. I shouldn't say see you because you can't bloody see us, but we will be back again next week.
I can see you.
Thanks so much for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please feel free to rate, subscribe, or leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. That helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. You can also keep up with your host and find her content on Instagram at KITTYBLOMFIELD. Once again, thanks for tuning in to the Weight Loss for Women podcast, and we hope you'll join us again on the next episode. Until then.